Thanks, Megan. Appreciate your reading. Well, as we good lesson, Kevin. That if everybody just gets that today, they'll be blessed. And live is later, right? All the live program for kids a little bit later. That's good. We want to see. We've been trying to introduce to you one of our new members. And last week we tried, and he came in right after we tried to introduce him. So, David Shim, are you here so we can introduce you today? Okay, we're gonna introduce David until he's here. Okay, because we want that to be a good thing. Before I start preaching, I want to orient you to your order of worship today, because it has things inside of it that you're going to want to see and look at. One, you find this roster of the ministry servant leaders, fall 2009, and it has three little holes in it. And what you should see when you see those three little holes is that would go in your directory in such a fine way, and then you would have a list of the ministries and the ministry leaders and email addresses and phone numbers, and so that's what you want to do with that. And on the back of it, you could draw a picture of something. And then there's a list, a nice slick copy list of the UA ministries, and this is for your further reference. And if you want to keep an update on how these ministries are going to grow and change as time goes on, then you look for the UA ministries area in our website, and that'll always be up to date. And then the blue sheet is something that you're going to need in about 12 minutes. Because we're going to walk you through this morning. And this is not separate from the sermon. This is an illustration. This is a part of the sermon. Okay? It's not different than the sermon. And that's important for you to know this morning. As we talk about ministry today in the early church, we hear from the passage that Megan read that the people, as they came together with hearts that were generous, and they wanted to hold all things in common. And in that passage it says there were no needy people among them inside the body of the church. In other places, right there in the beginning of Acts, you find that not only was their ministry marked by generosity, but after the apostles are led out of prison, after Peter and John are led out of prison, when they gather, after Peter and John have been told to not say anything else in the name of Jesus, they gather and they pray for boldness. They pray that they'll be even more eager to talk about Jesus in an environment that is increasingly hostile. And so you have generosity and boldness. And out of these communities of faith in the town of Jerusalem comes this sense of God is at work. Not just that the people are suddenly interested in some idea, like they got fired up about Kiwanis or something, but that there is something that has happened deep inside of them that has transformed them, so that now they not only get together with glad hearts and eat together and share the Lord's Supper together and talk about the Lord's teaching together and do all of those things that we talked about last week. It's not just sitting in a circle and holding hands and singing Kumbaya. It is also a matter of being about doing something, and doing it with a sense of common purpose and common sacrifice and common boldness. And they are eager to serve. And we heard it this morning in the passage that Joe read from Mark chapter 10. That at a point where two of the apostles were wondering how they would work out their sort of retirement in the kingdom of God, one at one hand of Jesus and the other at the other hand of Jesus, Jesus says, I'm sorry, But even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Therefore, in the early church, you see that the core of the church, the very heart of the church, is not sitting in the presence of Jesus, but serving in the presence of Jesus. Not just worshiping in the presence of Jesus, but working in the presence of Jesus. And even as Kevin has already described this morning, it's not to just be an amorphous part of the body of Christ, but to have a form and a function in the body of Christ. To be able to see, to be able to hear, to be able to walk, to be able to touch, to be able to do something in the body of Christ. And so we are not only being in Christ, but we are doing in Christ. Now this comes to an especial point when you come to Acts chapter 6. Because the first major problem comes up in the early church. It's a problem because there are Jewish widows, and Jewish in this sense means they're homegrown. They've got Jewish last names. They're the women of the earth right there. And then there are Hellenistic Jews, and that's not saying something bad about them. It means they have Greek origins or Greek last names, and so they would be thought to be a little more distant from the true Jewish roots. And so as they come together in the life of the church, and as they pass out the food, do their meals on wheels, it seems that the wheels end up in front of the Jewish widows' houses a little more easily than they end up in front of the Hellenistic Jews, the Grecian Jews' houses, and people start to say, "That's not fair." How many of you have ever had one of your kids say, "That's not fair"? Yes, and the world tends to not be that way. So the 12, hearing this grumping, imagine grumping in the early church. It's amazing. They gather the disciples together and say, "You know, we don't need to be the ones who fix this. We can't neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables." In fact, they had already done that in their ministry. Who passed out the food and picked up the scraps at the feeding of the 5,000? They did. Who passed out the food and picked up the scraps at the feeding of the 4,000? They did. Who went and looked for the upper room? They did. They'd done this. They knew this. And they said, "We need to keep doing what we're doing. So, brothers and sisters, why don't you select 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we'll turn this responsibility over to them, and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word." Now that's interesting. Why don't you find these folks? And it doesn't say, why don't you find people who have a nice wagon and know where all the ladies live? It says, why don't you find people who are full of wisdom and full of the Spirit to do what? To pass out food. Really? So the issue is not spiritual people need to attend to the ministry of the Word and evangelism, and unspiritual people need to attend to the feeding of the widows. So that there become two classes of people in the church, the spiritual and the unspiritual, the clergy and the laity, the people who are close to God and the people who are never going to be close to God. Those kind of dichotomies, that kind of division is not going to happen. Even the people who are showing up in front of the Hellenistic widow's house with the meals on wheels, meal covered in the little saran wrap, even that person needs to be a person full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. And so when we talk about ministry in the church and ministry leaders in the church, we're not talking about those who are unspiritual, immature people who just happen to be able to do some work. But what is required of all of us is that we grow in our capacity to hold the Spirit of God within us and to act in ways that are wise in ministry. And so everybody's happy with this. That's great. They choose some folks. Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, to pass out food. Yes. And Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism, they find nice Hellenistic Christian men to make sure they get the food to all of the Hellenistic widows. They presented them to the apostles, and the apostles bring these servants in, and they pray over them, and they lay their hands on them, and they call them to the ministry of passing out food. There are no small ministries, are there? The greatest potential division in the church in Jerusalem was going to begin because some people were being fed and some people weren't. And that problem is overwhelmed by this wisdom. And so the apostles bless them and call them to this ministry. And people who come into ministry in the life of the church need to do so with a sense of blessing and call. Not just snookered into it. But blessing and call. And so the Word of God spread. And the notion here is that when you solve a problem in a marvelous way, when you solve a problem in a spiritual way, when you call good and godly people to do good and godly work, then the whole ministry of the Kingdom of God is propelled forward in a powerful way. And the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests become obedient to the faith. And why? Because they figure out how to pass out the bread in a way that calls people to greater ministry and honors the work of God in the lives of these folks. And we hear about Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performs great wonders and signs among the people, and now that will lead us into the sermon by Stephen and the martyrdom of Stephen, and it reminds us that all of these people called to ministry were great and godly servants who were not just passing out physical bread, but were also men who had been enriched by spiritual bread and were able to share it with others. And we will hear quickly in the book of Acts both the stories of faithful and powerful evangelist Stephen and faithful and powerful evangelist Philip, who begin their great work knocking on the door and saying, "Your tuna casserole is here." Isn't that great? We have come together this morning and we have heard in our children's sermon the importance of being a body. And then we have come together and heard about the early church and how important it was to have the call to shared life and generous life and bold life have that move toward ministry life. And I hope that as you listen to this, that you hear in this early church that we are attempting to be that kind of church. And that in these ministries that you've heard about this morning, that you are hearing that there is an opportunity in the life of this body for us to come together in generosity and boldness and ministry and join together, knitted together, not as an organization, but as an organism, as a living body of Christ in the world, and to go out together, honoring and lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our great and honored task to do that. And I want to tell you one then last thing. I want you to see in all of this how the Word continues to become flesh and dwell among us. The Christ is always being incarnated in the life of the church. And all of us together become the living incarnation of Christ in this place, ministering not only in His name, but as His very person, being Christ in the world. There's a tendency to look at those ministries and think that's mundane, which would be of this world, but it's not. All of this is the stuff of heaven come down and of Christ living in us. I hope this morning that you have prepared your heart to be a place in which Christ lives, and that you're preparing yourself to join with your brothers and sisters in Christ to be built up into a holy temple in which Christ dwells by His Spirit. The work of God is before us because the work of God is in us. Let's stand and sing.